All right, let's go. All right, here we go. Don Cherry's on the air. Cindy's taking a little vacation this week. And I think we should start off talking about Paul Maurice. You know, he was there seven years. I've always said to you, Tim, after 7 years...
No, you said after 5 years.
Well, 7 years is a long time.
Man. Yeah. You think after...
5 years. What happens is... It's not that they get the players get used to your stories or anything like that. It's the same voice over and over and over again. Paul Maurice is a good coach. I'm sure he'll be back. He's taking a little vacation.
Yeah, he stepped down on his own terms. Now, do you think now, you look at Vancouver with Bruce Boudreaux, what is he, 4-0 now?
Yeah.
And
they sing a song.
They sing, yeah.
What song they sing?
Oops, There It Is. And they say Bruce, There It Is. But it's an old song in the 80s or the 90s. But do you think, you see Vancouver struggling, not doing very well. They make the change. Bruce comes in. They go 4-0. Do you think other general managers go,
Again, we make a change. We get a new voice in there. But Bruce Boudreaux is a little... He's a little different. He's a player's coach, and I think a lot of guys go in there with something like that. They really, really turn it on to the players. But Bruce Boudreaux, he's a pretty sharp guy. Everywhere he's been, he's won.
Yeah. I think he got in trouble in Washington. I know people are going to laugh. Was they did that behind the scenes? Remember the Washington?
Yes, and he used the F-bomb.
And remember, and he went and he started swearing, and people thought, and that's just normal hockey talk. That's nothing.
But I think he laid it on a little thick
that kind of ruined him in there. A lot of people got...
Because he doesn't look like that kind of a guy.
No, but... But that's I always wonder when you see Boudreaux, he goes in there, and then you wonder the other GMs, the coaches are having it, or
not doing... Not too many Boudreaux's around, though.
No. So who did you like? I wouldn't say you would say the players didn't like Travis Green in Vancouver, but
I don't know.
Did you ever play for a coach outside of Eddie Shore that you didn't really?
Oh, you played. You better played for Eddie Shore. Let me think now. I don't. Oh, there's a lot of coaches I didn't like, but the one coach was in Kitchener. I really liked. His name was Frank Curry. And he was really a good coach. He was a player's coach, and he was a great guy.
I think you got to tell one funny story. You played for Joe Crozier in Rochester about the time he was laying in bed.
Oh, yeah. He would try every trick, and, we were pretty sharp guys, too. And he called all the captains up, and I think there was captains and about three or four. And the worst guy could call up, I don't know why he called up Papin. Of all guys, Jim Papin, he was a great player. He went on to play in Chicago. So we're all around the bed, and he gave us his death wish. And it was like he was dying. I know I can't be there, and I just thought, you guys, you have to win for me. And the guys are laughing and joking behind his back and everything, but Joe would try anything at all to win. And I remember the funniest thing that I remember, we used to have plastic garbage cans coming in. And we lost the game in a playoffs or something. And he came in and he kicked that garbage can. And the trainer had put steel ones in. He broke a toe. Oh, were we happy. And then he wore, a plaid slipper. He had that because his toe was broken. He couldn't wear a shoe, and we went on a winning streak. And for the whole winter, the whole time, all the rest of the winter, and the rest of the ring, because we were winning, he wouldn't change. He wouldn't change.
The bench would be all wet and everything.
Oh, it didn't matter to him. I mean, he was an Irish guy, and he stuck to it. Man. He was a good coach, boy. I mean, we won. Of course, we won three championships in a row, I think it was. And what happened was that we, unbeknownst to us, that Punch Imlach and him owned the club, and that's why he kept feeding us good players.
Yeah,
we were so
Toronto,
good.
Yeah, you, Toronto kept sending the guys down. You were saying,
yeah, and we, what are you like the guys? All of a sudden, if we get in trouble, we get two guys from New York. We get two guys from Toronto. I mean, it was unbelievable.
Yeah, didn't you say one time your, well, the one year your whole power play went up and played in the NHL?
A whole power play, or I think three quarters of the power play went up and played in the National Hockey League and won the Stanley Cup. I mean, we would play exhibition games and no NHL team would play us.
Yeah. So then you guys were winning, you were selling out, and then they sold it to Vancouver.
And that's, and they thought they'd do the same thing in Vancouver, which they did. Yeah. I remember we played, we played the Boston Bruins. And I don't know, I must have cross-checked a guy in a corner. And John Busick followed me to the, and he says, "We heard you were backstabbered. Keep your eye out from you." So I turned around and said, "Well, I'm not backstabbing you. I'm facing you. What are you going to do about it?" I never forgot that.
Yeah. And then, what, 8 years later, you were coaching them.
About 8 years later, I guess I was coaching them. We got 35 goals, I think, the 1 year.
Yeah. And I remember you were saying that your first practice, you got him to do the power play.
Oh, yeah. This was funny. So my very first practice, and they had the best power play in the world. Let's see. There was Phil Esposito at the center. Johnny Busick was on left wing. Wayne Cashman was on right wing. Wayne Cashman, he was unbelievable in front. He used to tell me about the story. And we had Carol Vadney, got 20 goals, and we had Bobby Orr on the right side. So I'm going to tell these guys how to play the power play. So I said, I remember at center ice, I said, "I'll take the rest of the guys here. John Busick, you take the power play and work on the power play." I never forgot that.
It's funny, though, getting back to Paul Maurice. You know, I don't think I've ever heard a coach stepping down halfway through the season.
No, I can't. I'm trying to remember.
I just think he looked frustrated, right?
I think he just had it. I mean, I think he just had it. And he looked like he, and when I saw the press conference, he didn't look bad. He's a good guy. He'll have a job. I think he just needs a little rest. I mean, they've had an awful lot of problems. I mean, you know, they really have. They've had more problems than any other club, and he kept them in line.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. Like, they had a lot of guys, you know, Bufflin not coming back and Laney wanting out and stuff, and he kept them going.
Well, we want to wish Dave Lowry, he played the National Hockey League, and you're not going to fool this guy, and a good guy's taken over. We wish Dave the best of luck, and Paul will be back. Don't worry. He's going to take a little rest. Don't worry. He's a good coach. He'll be back.
So Dad will, watching some of the games and the highlights, boys, some of the fights are just unbelievable.
And they mean it. I mean, they're not fooling. This isn't.
Yeah, not too many guys grab on.
Like, no, they start grabbing on, and then they back loose. That Fitzgerald, he stepped in. Now, let me just give you. I know. I'm talking about a couple of other fights, but now here's what happened in the old days. If a guy give a dirty hit, like you, sort of half-assed dirty hit, eh?
Yeah.
That a guy would step in, and they call it 5-on-5. Well, now the referees call it 2. Now you figure it out. The guy that started it, he gets 5, which is nothing. The other guy gets 2, 5, and a 10.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't stick up for your teammates. If you stick up for your teammates, you get an extra 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And then you get a misconduct on the end. But anyhow, in the old days, the referees would just turn. They would give them both 5. But you're right. When they get in, when they start throwing them, they look like they mean it. And they cut them. And I see Chera. Chera, what now?
How he's got three. He's like 45. He had 3 fights.
I think what happened is that people think that if they survive fighting Chera, or maybe think he's getting old. Maybe that's the only thing I can.
Well, he kind of goes after him. Like all of them were kind of dirty hits or something like that. And he went and he fought that
And Phil Kessel.
Yeah, Phil Kessel got to a fight. Well, he punched and then he grabbed a hold of the guy and they were
wrestling. Well, at least he's giving it the old, who was it? Lindgren, I think. Ryan Lindgren he was fighting.
Yeah.
Yeah, boy, I tell you, when Kessel starts throwing him, you know something's funny going on. And, nice to see him standing up anyhow.
Yeah, there was a little schmozzle after the Vegas Devils game. And the goalie for the Vegas went after Kevin Ball. Remember him, that defenseman?
Oh, yeah, I remember him.
He was a big defenseman that we were – I forget who he played for. He was a minor midget. We were watching him. And I thought we told the story before, but it was so funny. He's standing at center ice, just standing there, like stood still. And this little Irish kid, I forget, come roaring up the ice with his head down, and he ran right into him. And like it would have been like if he was a fire hydrant, you would have run into him. And the referee threw Ball out for a hit to the head because he had to be, I think he's 6'7" now.
He hit him on the hip.
He was 6'2", yeah. This kid's head hit him on the hip and he had to throw him out. And I remember you yelled at the referee as he was coming off. You say, really? You're giving him? He goes, Grapes, what am I supposed to do?
Yeah, not much he can do. He had to do it, but it. Boy, he was a big guy and a good defenseman.
Well, he's 6'7" now. And when we saw him at 15, he was probably 6'2".
And well, talk about big guys on this Team Canada coming up.
Yeah.
That Sebastian Kosa, I think that
Kosa,
is it?
Yeah.
Kosa is his name. 6'7". He's from Hamilton. He was born in Hamilton, but he's former McMurray. And he's playing for the Oil Kings right now. Boy,
he's 6'7", so that means on ice he'd be close to 7 feet.
Yeah, he's the first round draft choice of Detroit. Well, if he's as good, I hope we'll see how good he is. But holy man, that's 6'7". I think he's got to be the biggest goalie.
I think Vasilevsky, he's close. He's 6'6", I think, for Tampa. So that'd be something. But
imagine he had skates and
yeah. Well, you go down on your knees, you go on a butterfly, your shoulders are going to be over the crossbar.
Yeah. Well,
we talk about the World Juniors.
We used to go
watch them.
I didn't see him play that. I didn't see that Kosa play.
No, he played out west. He played in Fort McMurray.
I did see Cole Perfetti. Isn't that pretty good, eh? I can pronounce his name. He's pretty good.
Yeah, he played
for the Vaughan Kings, eh?
Yep. Yeah.
And Sean Wright. He played for the Don Mills.
Shane Wright, yeah. Well, we saw him when he was...
I really liked him.
Yeah, he'll be first pick overall. We've talked about him before, but we saw him when he was... he would have been 13, and he was just...
He was just as good then.
Yeah, you could just see.
Shall I tell a story? I'll tell a story. I told it before, but I'll tell it again. He used to have a habit of... like Gretzky, he'd go over to the right as he's going down. He'd sit his bum on the boards and feed guys coming in. So, you know, he'd get a few goals, but he was good. He was really good. He used to feed all the guys coming in. Asia came to me and says, have you had any? And I said, all you have to do is tell him this. Guys that score drive expensive cars. Guys that don't score and pass the puck, they're not as expensive. He says, will you have lunch with him? I says, no, I won't have lunch with him, but tell him anyhow. And he got a hat trick the next day.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
and we had
Will Cooley. Yeah.
What was his Will? Yeah, I never. Yeah. A funny name, Will. He played for the Marlies and Ryan O'Rourke. I remember. There's a guy I didn't know that would make it. He really is skating really improved.
Yeah,
for the Vaughan Kings.
Yeah, you liked him. Like he was a guy. And you really liked him because you said he just had the smarts. Like he was a really smart hockey player. And you could just see over at the beginning of the year, he'd get the puck and he'd like really pass it quick. But you could see he started getting confident and then he started going with the puck and all that. So he was...
Well, the guy I'm looking forward to seeing is Owen Power. Played for the Mississauga Reps. Boy, he played overseas.
He played in the world tournament this year.
He is a giant. He is.
He's like 6'6 or something like that.
Yeah, he is another big giant.
And you remember him playing.
I remember him playing. He was a big guy. And I remember, boy, he was good. Boy, he should shine in this tournament.
I remember watching him and I asked you what you thought of him. And you said he had all the tools, but he was so big back then. He quite hadn't grown into his body, and he was just a little bit awkward skater, but he's not now, boy. Like he's
well, he worked on his skating.
Yeah.
And all you kids out there, if you're having a tough time, yeah, you have to work at it. Well, we want to wish the juniors the best of luck. The States are getting better and better every time you play them.
The one thing with this tournament, though, you know, we watch it. It really is who has the best goalie. I mean, it does come down to the goaltending. If your goalie's just not quite as good as the other goalie.
How about the time we lost when Patrick O'Sullivan had the breakaway?
Yeah,
he shot the puck and it bounced in the air and come back at the guy and hit.
Yeah, it was Fleury. I think it was Fleury, the goalie, came out, shot the puck. It was like a minute to go at a 2-2 tie or something like that. It hit Patrick O'Sullivan's, who played for the Americans, hit his shin pad, went in the net.
Yeah, it went up and went bouncing in the air, come down behind. And the Americans and the other teams are getting better all the time.
Yeah, well, we watched the women. They had the tournament this weekend, and Poulin scored the overtime winner again. She's like that. What was the guy's name? Sudden Death Hill. Remember the one guy, Overtime Hill or something like that?
But, and the puck just came to her. And they're banging and banging, smashing. There's the puck liner. Bing, zing.
You know what, though, Dad? I have to say, watching the women's this week, they seem better than they did during the last Olympics. I think the last Olympics, I watched it, and I go, I thought they might have took a step back, but not this year. Like they seemed, I don't know if they're younger and a little bit faster.
And the girls hit too.
Yeah, they're not supposed to hit.
Not supposed to hit,
but they're hitting pretty good.
And that girl get hit along the boards, boy, they were. Yeah. And they stand up. It's all right for them to stand up for one another, but if we stand up for one another,
yeah, you get extra.
That was
penalties.
A pretty good hockey game. That was a great hockey game.
So, Dad, we'd like to thank our sponsor, Spreads.ca. They're a Canadian-owned online casino and sportsbook, and they're running a special promo over the holidays. So if you sign up now and use the promo GRAPES, and you put your...
What was that word?
GRAPES, like your nickname, GRAPES, GRAPES, and you put your deposit in, so that's your kitty, to bet with. They'll match it 25%. So if you put $100 in, they'll give you $25, and they'll match that 25% to the Don Cherry's Grapevine Pet Rescue Foundation.
Unbelievable!
And so we really appreciate them. And you know, you and I always like supporting the Canadian companies. They're a Canadian company, and you see a lot of guys on TV. You see a lot of those ads now on the things. And if it's .net or .org, they're offshore. And these guys are Canadian, and they're doing great
things. And unless you want to build 10 grand or something.
No, you can bet any amount of money.
Have a little fun. Some fun.
Yeah, and all those games that you see that they have on the TV, Spreads has and all that. So they're a great organization, and I really appreciate it. And I have to say though, I bet on Hamilton for the Grey Cup, because I went to school to Hamilton, and I lived there for a bit, and I went to school. But you just knew in the fourth quarter Winnipeg was coming.
You just felt they had confidence. You could see the guy walk out there.
It's funny how sometimes you can see that, eh? Like on a team,
the whole team.
Yeah, just starts getting the goals. So, but one of your good friends who you went and went all over Canada doing speaking with was Red Story, and a lot of people who remember Red Story remember him as a referee. Yeah. But he got how many touchdowns did he score? You got, three
touchdowns in the
fourth quarter.
In 12 minutes, I think it was.
Right, it was funny, it was Toronto against Winnipeg. He played for the Argos back then. So
how I got to know him, I first met him when he was a referee. And when I was playing for Rochester, I guess I was playing for Springfield. I was playing for a lot of teams, but I think it was in Rochester. If you were like a borderline penalty or something, he'd come up. He'd never ever say your name. He'd say, number two, do that again. You're going to get it,
So he talked to the players.
Oh, he talked to the players all the time, and he was a referee's player. You know what I mean? Like you didn't fool around with him. He was a big guy too. He was about 6'3". He was great in the football. He was great in the football. Like I said, he...
Yeah, he was going to... In fact, he got after the Argo, after he got the three touchdowns, that he went to... the Giants offered him, but his he said his knees were just too bad to go play in the NFL.
Well, he could. And he's a lacrosse star. And you were saying he broke the... He was in a warm-up. He didn't quite understand it.
Yeah, I guess when he was so athletic that he played football, and then they got him to play lacrosse, and he never played lacrosse before, and he was so good, and he could run so fast that I think it was Hamilton got him, and he was a warm-up, and I guess he didn't know quite what he was doing, and he hit the goalie in the mouth.
Well, he's relaxed. Goalie was relaxed.
And he broke the goalie's jaw before a big game. So
that's like Cheevers in the warm-up. If you ever shot high up, he'd chase you around the rink. He go right under the net if you shot high at him, and so he was. But I remember him as a referee when he refereed.
Well, we got a clip from he was on our Grapevine show a couple of times, and boy, could he tell a story, eh?
Oh, let me tell you something. People absolutely loved him, and you never spoke after Dennis Hall because Dennis Hall was the absolute master. But Red Story did, and the people just. I usually, when you're on there, you can tell when it's over. He could have spoke for 3 hours, but the people just loved him.
I remember we had him on the Grapevine show, and you know he was one of the best guests you had because you just say, "Tell us about this," and away he would go.
And he was great.
And the audience was just fixated what a good story he told.
And he turned and talked to them.
Talked to him. Yeah, it was really he was one of our I remember a lot of people coming over. Because even back then in the 80s, this would have been maybe mid-80s that we'd had him on. People didn't quite know who he was.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate today that a lot of people don't know who he is.
Well, we're
talking about him now. But he has the craziest story that, like, if you put this story in Slapshot, they never would believe it.
I think one funny story was that a guy was mad at him, and he threw a stick in the air, and he says, if that stick comes down, he says, you get a misconduct. But anyhow, he tells a great story, what happened in Chicago, and why he quit.
Now, I want to go all right to it. You 8 years are there, 2,000 games you did, you're a Hall of Famer, but you remember April 5th, 1959.
That must have been in Chicago.
It was.
It was in Chicago, and I'm lucky I'm here.
Tell us about that game.
Well, the thing is, you got to realize Chicago had been in the bottom of the league for years, and Montreal had been at the top of the league for years, and all of a sudden they've got Ted Lindsay from Detroit and Glenn Hall from Detroit, and they got Litzenberger from Montreal, a few more. They got six players into Chicago to build up the team, and now they're in the semifinals, and it's the sixth game against Montreal, the winner to go into the final. And they got 20,000 people in the building. They used to say 16, but there was 20. And it's a great game, really a fabulous game. You couldn't hear it. All three officials had to blow the whistle to stop the play. You couldn't stop the play. And what happened was, it's a very close game. And Eddie Litzenberger, who was a big guy like me, and they're one of their leading scorers, he comes waltzing out of his own end, and Marcel Bonin from Montreal puts his stick flat on the ice in front of him to trap the puck. And Big Litz, who was as awkward as I was, he steps on the stick, and he goes up in the air. And all the Chicago team are stopped. They quit skating, and they're waiting for me to call a penalty. There's no penalty. Step in the guy's stick. I can't give a penalty. Before they get their senses back, Montreal score a goal. Now there's a little bit of a disturbance.
slightly.
Because they can see their chances of going to the final are sort of slipping. We're in the third period now.
Yeah.
Now, it took us maybe 20 minutes to get the game started again.
Tell us about Doug Harvey.
Well, how about Todd Sloan? First of all, during this episode, there's only one episode.
Oh.
First of all, I go to drop the puck for the faceoff. And somebody says, look out, Red. And I turn around, this guy's running out in the ice with a pail of beer. And he throws it right in my face. And I grab him. And Doug Harvey grabs from the other side. And Doug knew me. And he knew my and he could see. He says, Red, you can't hit a fan. You can't hit a fan. He goes, bing.
He hits
the guy. He dings it.
Yeah.
And he knows I'm still going to hit him. So he says, Red, don't hit a fan. Don't hit a fan. Bing, he hits him again. And the guy's staggering off the ice, you know. And now Doug's the only guy on the ice with me. Everybody was hiding either in the nets, beside the board, where the glass. No, they threw everything, chairs, bottles, everything. And I got to center ice. I figured any guy's going to hit me, he's going to have a good arm. And but Doug stayed with me. And Doug stayed with me. And all of a sudden he says, look out, Red. A guy jumped the screen from the other side. It was a screen in those days. And he jumped me in the back. And I saw his shadow, and I ducked, and I flipped him in the air. And as he's in the air, Doug cut him for 18 stitches.
I tell you, imagine you did that now. I bet a guy never come on the ice again.
Hey, I got news. Nobody came on the ice.
After that.
Now the game is over. This is funny. The game is over. You remember Danny Lewicki?
Sure do.
Danny Lewicki was a good friend of mine. They were all good friends of mine. Believe it or not, the only friends that a referee has in the world is the guys he's controlling on the ice. If you're fair with them, they're on your side. Anyway, the game is over, and Danny comes to me, and he says, Red, here's my stick. You're going to need it now more than I do. And this true story. You come out at the end of the rink, you know, and you go down those stairs,
eh? Tough stairs.
And there's a row of seats right there. And these were six hoodlums right there. And I got news for you. I opened up the whole six of them with a stick. I just cleaned house. Because I don't go down those stairs if I don't clean them out first.
Boy, hockey was great back in those days.
True story.
Well, Tim, as you know, he was a great guy. I remember one time we were going out. We used to travel in fours. I hate to say it. It was him and I and an umpire. Yeah, I forget the umpire's name. Anyhow, and I went to his room, you know, and on the way out and everything, he had lost his wallet. Well, you'd think he'd lost his, I guess he had everything in there and his picture of his wife and everything in there. And he was in a cold sweat. And I didn't know. We looked all over, and we looked everywhere. And I just happened to look behind the bureau. It was up, and there was his wallet stuck halfway down. Well, I found his wallet. You'd think I'd found the greatest thing in the world to give it to him. And he was a super guy. He did 480 games in the regular season. He refereed, and he did all the finals all the time because he was the best. You know, when I was on the Barry Flyers, we won the Memorial Cup. The writer, I think it was the Boston Examiner, and Barry was his brother was George was the writer, and he just looked he was big and tall and looked just like them. And his son Bob Story won the Grey Cup in 1967 and 70, which was, you know, the genes were there, and. Well, Tim, a lot of people recognize him as a great performer. He's in the Hockey Hall of Fame. He's in the Canadian Sports Hall of Fame, Order of Canada, which is great. And he was in the Ontario Hall of Fame. And he was if you knew him, you'd love him. He was a great guy.